As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. Got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it. Welcome to our Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you again today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place. In the right, at the right time, to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, and boy, are we going to dish some out today. Get your spoons ready. This is where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room. Or pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. Chew me out. Do whatever you like. That's all right. I'll be your whipping boy today. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. That's host@vocallocal.org. So simple. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, thank you, and thank you very much for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our websites, vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. You might check out freedomadvocates.org as well. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open gold, hovering near the 990 mark in early trading, but it's been much lower than that already. We'll cover that a bit. Timmy visits with who, woo, and when. We'll go back and visit that article on update number 2, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, the International Brotherhood of Man, Marxism, Proletarian Lessons, so much, so much. Your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2009. Active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading up $7.70 in the early morning trading at $982.30. Silver was trading up 22 cents at 1581. Platinum up $6 to $1,215 an ounce. Palladium up $3 at $242 an ounce. In the gold spot market, the low was $968.30. The high was $985.80 so far on the day. And our $982.30, where it stands right now, is a year-on-year gain of $92 for a 10.33% return on your investment. Those London gold fixers set the AM gold fix mark at $973.50. So far, gold is thumbing its nose at the boys in London, and much higher than that, another 10 bucks above that. The gold spot market's going to close in 7 hours. Into those financial markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed yesterday up 221 points to 8,721. The NASDAQ was up 54 points, trading at 1,829. S&P was up 24 points, trading at 943. Crude oil, 67.75, off 83 points, or 83 bucks, or almost 83 cents, Will. $67.75 for a barrel of light sweet crude oil. We'll pick it up on the other side and get into our foreign exchange rate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. In the opening segment of today's broadcast, we covered the gold news and some of the financial news. We see gold trading up $7.70 at $982.30. Silver was up 22 cents at $15.81. The Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the S&P, they were all up yesterday as if, you know, the sky was the limit and everything was great. But crude oil was off just a tad, down 83 cents at $67.75 a barrel for light sweet crude. Pour that in your Dodge pickup truck and drive away with it. Foreign exchange rates today, the Canadian dollar was up 0.67%, trading at 92 cents U.S. The Mexican peso was up a fraction, nothing much there. Trading at 8 cents. You can fill up your pockets with pesos for 8 cents apiece. The euro was up 0.54%, trading $1.43. That's moving up there. Watch that one. The British pound was almost unchanged, trading at $1.65, but it did click up that little bit and move up from $1.64 to $1.65. The Swiss franc trading at 94 cents, so there's our basket of currencies, but the USDX, 78.39, off 37 basis points. So the U.S. dollar continues to decline. The foreign exchange rates continue to climb. And so we're going to inverse ratio there. Of course, the rest of the news is going to follow from that. The bond market today, the two-year bond is trading at 0.91%. The 10-year, 3.62%. These are interest rates. The 30-year is 4.5%. So you can see with gold standing right now up $92 year-on-year at 10.33%, a little bit better deal there than getting involved with the bonds. And we're going to have a story on that. Let's just go there right now. Northwestern Mutual, thanks to Robbie Noel over on RBN for pointing this out on his broadcast yesterday. I went and caught the article. It was a very short one. Off of Bloomberg, Andrew Fry. Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, the third largest U.S. life insurer by 2008 sales, has bought gold for the first time in the company's 152-year history to hedge against further asset declines. I mean to tell you, you know, for all the people that are out there that would like to warn you against gold, I would have to say that after 152 years, if this big mutual life company, Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, is turning to gold to hedge against further asset declines, maybe we need to pay attention. Gold, the article continues, says, just seems to make sense. It's a store of value, close quote, said Chief Executive Officer Edward Zohr in an interview following his comments at a conference hosted by Standard & Poor's in Brooklyn. Quote, in the Depression, gold did very well, he says, close quote. Northwestern Mutual has accumulated about $400 million in gold, said Zohr. The price could double or even rise fivefold if the economy continues to weaken. Gold gained 10% last month, the most since November. The commodity has more than tripled since 2000, rising for 8 straight years. Gold futures for August delivery slipped $4.80 to $9.75.80 at 4:03 p.m. in New York. Here's a quote. The downside risk is limited, but the upside is large, Zohr said. Quote, we have stocks in our portfolio that have lost 95% of their value. Gold is not going down to $90, he said, close quote. Policyholder-owned Northwestern Mutual, based in Milwaukee, ranks third by 2008 life insurance premiums, according to data released from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, and the data it excludes annuities. So there's just a voice in favor of gold. Here's a little bit of a carry-on from the article I read yesterday. Kind of a sad thing. It's getting worse. This off of Reuters, Harmony Mines said the death toll has risen to at least 61 on Tuesday from an underground fire that killed illegal miners at its disused gold mines in South Africa. Here's the story. James Makara, out of Johannesburg, South Africa, as they say, the death toll rose to at least 61 on Tuesday from an underground fire that killed illegal miners at a disused gold mine in South Africa, Harmony Gold Mining Company said. Quote, today we found 5 more bodies, close quote, said Tom Smith, head of Harmony's operations in part of the country where the abandoned shaft is located. Quote, the bodies are not burned. It seems more of a case of gas or smoke inhalation. Illegal mining in South Africa's abandoned gold mines often goes unnoticed because miners can sneak past security at one mine and exit from one owned by a different company kilometers away. The illegal miners can stay underground for months unseen. Staying underground for months unseen? My word. Gold prices near record highs have made the risk taken by well-organized illegal mining syndicates even more worthwhile. So that's just kind of pointing up the comments that I've made in the past. As gold continues to rise, we should see more and more of these kinds of people looking at prospecting and taking greater risks to put their hands on gold. It's been the case throughout all of history. Smith said the bodies were retrieved by fellow illegal miners from depths of up to a mile. He said he didn't know how the fire had started and reiterated that it was too dangerous for Harmony to send its staff in to search for bodies. Quote, I don't know if there are any more bodies down there. We'll just have to wait, he said. The illegal miners were killed in a fire over the weekend at Harmony's Elon shaft, located in the Central Free State. A similar fire at its marginal St. Helena mine in the same province killed 23 illegal miners in 2007. Well, then it just goes on. Here's another one, a sad note as well. You probably all heard about this. I don't have television, so this is new news to me. But anyway, it goes along this way. French Brazil search efforts find no signs of a plane. You may not have heard about it. But this off of Bloomberg, French and Brazilian planes and ships are searching for an Air France Airbus that disappeared over the Atlantic Ocean with 228 people on board and have found no signs of the airliner. Spotter planes, helicopters, and Navy vessels were dispatched to locate the Airbus A330-200, which dropped from radar screens after hitting turbulence as it flew from Paris to Rio de Janeiro yesterday. The French government says there was no evidence at the moment that points to any terrorism. Air France said it isn't ruling out a lightning strike on the aircraft, which reported an electrical circuit breakdown and sent 10 automated distress messages before it vanished. Quote, "That's the kind of message you receive from a dying, breaking up airplane," close quote. John Nance, a pilot who runs an aviation consulting business, said in an interview from Seattle. The plane probably ran into a 300-kilometer or 186-mile-wide wall of lightning and broke up before pilots could issue a mayday call, said Denny Fitch, a retired United Airlines pilot and consultant. Whatever it was, it happened very quickly. Lightning as a strike is one hypothesis among others, but one can't imagine that would be the cause of the plane going down, close quote, French Transport Minister Dominique Bussereau said in an interview on French radio station Europe 1 today, quote, "It could be days, weeks, or months," close quote, "before anything is known about the cause of the crash." Terrorism hasn't been ruled out, Defense Minister Hervé Morin said in the same interview, though there's no evidence to date to suggest it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. financing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we're back, and we're back, and we're back, and good news. We do have some good news in the news today. This from Terry Hall off of their website. It's Texas Turf. I don't know any of you are familiar with her or her organization, but they've been instrumental in blocking the Trans-Texas Corridor. They were successful. This is her little article here, published this morning, June the 2nd, 2009. We did it, she says. HB 300 is dead. It was messy and full of dramas, but the grassroots, with the help of infighting among lawmakers over the local option gas tax hike, managed to slay a beast of a bill that would have unleashed horrific provisions upon Texans for generations to come. That's HB 300. If you want to look at it, it'll be history for you now because it's been stopped. The 81st legislative session in Texas is over, so this bill died, signed, die. But she says, continues here, and thank you for all the phone calls and emails to your legislators and for your support and sacrifices to come to Austin to give Texas, to give testimony to these committees and hanging in there when it felt like things, that, like they weren't listening and would never do right by the people of this great state. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sticking with us through these 5 months of hard-fought battles during the session, and for many of us, years of uphill struggles to meet to bring accountability and fix transportation policies that are outright ripoffs. Without this grassroots army, the train wreck would have continued unabated with untold damage. Here is a little bit more of the play-by-play. The final version of the bill from conference committee wasn't even posted until 11:40 p.m. on Saturday night. We had 24 hours to read a 1,000-page bill, which was impossible. She says, I was able to get a side-by-side report of the actual final changes in text, and that report was 178 pages long. She managed to inform lawmakers of the horrible provisions still left in HB 300 to give us ammo to kill the bill. And then she has read them here and so on and so forth. Anyway, folks, they were successful, and for all of those down in Texas that turned out to aid and support Terry Hall and the work that she's been doing down there with the Texas Turf. All of you, thank you very much. We can breathe a little bit better, more easy, and sleep better at night, knowing at least for this year, or at least for now, unless there's something else that's been slipped in somewhere, this Trans-Texas Corridor is dead and quiet for another session. Never stops, folks. These globalists just keep coming and coming, but thank goodness we've got people that are becoming vocal local and working in their local areas to block this globalist transition right where they are. And I just take my hat off. I met Terry Hall down at the Freedom 21 conference in Dallas last year, first time I'd ever met her. Very bright woman. Listened to her speak, articulate, pregnant is everything you could believe. But nevertheless, hardworking lady. It was extremely difficult to get a word in edgewise with her, even in the cocktail lounge while we're waiting for our cars and rides to the airport and things like that. She was busy scheduling and working with other people. She had a press person with her and so on and so forth. Just an amazing powerhouse, a woman that really, really puts it all out there. Anyway, here's another article. This one off of Bloomberg. Little Timmy. Geithner says China has confidence in the U.S. economy. Now, we read this, some of this information yesterday, but this is a carry-on on his trip to China. Treasury off of Bloomberg, June the 2nd. Rebecca Christie is the author here. You can find this on Bloomberg.com. Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner said China, the biggest holder of U.S. treasuries, has expressed confidence in the U.S. economy and the Obama administration's actions to fight the recession. But, of course, if you had been listening to Internet radio yesterday, you heard probably the report that when Timmy Geithner gave his talk to an auditorium filled with students, he basically was laughed to derision. Anyway, Chinese officials expressed justifiable confidence in the strength and the resilience and dynamism of the American economy, quote-unquote, there, Geithner said in an interview with state media in Beijing today. He said there will be enough demand for record sales of U.S. debt. Demand for record sales of U.S. debt. I guess they're sweating bullets over in Washington that the Chinese don't come around and say, sayonara. I guess they wouldn't say that. They go, oh, so, take it in a flying leap about buying any more of our debt. But I guess he was over there arm twisting and cajoling and got them all to agree to continue to buy more debt. I don't think that's going to happen. Geithner's two-day visit to strengthen ties ended with the U.S. announcing that the nations will hold strategic and economic talks in Washington in the week starting July the 27th. Premier Wen Jiabo called in March for the U.S. to, quote, guarantee the safety of China's assets. Now, how are we going to guarantee the safety of China's assets without giving them more of our funny money? And central bank governor Zhu has proposed a new global currency, there you go, to reduce reliance on the dollar. So we got Wen, we got Zhu, we got Yu. Yu, Yang Ding, a former central bank advisor who acted as the interviewer for the China Daily newspaper, told Geithner, quote, I worry about details. We will be watching you very carefully, close quote. Let me repeat that one more time. This is what Yu said to Timmy. I worry about details. We will be watching you very carefully. Doesn't sound good for Timmy. Treasury yields increased by the most in 8 months yesterday as investors bet the U.S. employment report on June the 5th will show the economy has yet to pull out of the recession. They fell today after Geithner's comments. You would think that he would have enough sense and decency to keep his mouth shut, but he doesn't. China held $768 billion of the securities at the end of the first quarter. Well, the article continues, China will be shooting themselves in the foot if they push this issue too hard, said Sean Callow, a senior currency strategist at Westpac Banking Corp in Sydney, Australia, if, quote, if they are too alarmist and contribute substantially to a dollar and treasury sell-off, they're going to feel more pain than just about anybody in the world, close quote. In other words, at worrying about what they have to lose, they're holding most of our debt. Geithner cited, quote, a very sophisticated understanding, close quote, in China of why the U.S. is running budget deficits in the short term. Maybe they got good intel, Timmy. Maybe they're not as dumb as you think. The Chinese people have been around for a long, long time. They all read Sun Tzu and kinda got in, Timmy. They got you wired. Chloe, here's another quote. You have established good working relationships with your Chinese colleagues, and you are committed to increasing China-U.S. cooperation and tackling the international financial crisis. President Hu Jiantao said at a meeting at the Great Hall of the People. Close. Here's another quote. I appreciate that, close quote. Oh, it just gets worse, folks. How'd you like to be little Timmy over in China, standing in the People's Hall, the Great Hall of the People, trying to explain how they got suckered into this Ponzi scheme, and they're winding up holding so much, absolutely so much, of our debt. Well, let's go into counter-revolutions, revolutions, and counter-revolutions, the International Brotherhood of Man, Workers of the World Unite, and Marxism. That's going back into the Western civilizations. Edward McNall Burns published in 1963, originally published in 1941. It starts in about this way, under the new social and economic doctrines, that would be your new social and economic order. The utopian socialists. The plot thickens as we start in here. We come to the next group of theorists who are more interested in social justice. Social justice, very important, the three E's. The three E's of sustainable development. Economy, equity, and environment. Social justice, we'll pick it up right there on the other side. Stay with us.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
The TeamSpeak Command Center provides the best in multi-platform digital audio technologies. TeamSpeak.cc is the leader in VoIP and streaming services for users that demand the best in audio quality. The Command Center has raised the bar again and now offers dedicated TeamSpeak and Mumble multi-user VoIP servers. Mumble is a newcomer to the scene and is an open-source voice chat application for GroupSpeak. Mumble servers provide the exact audio quality Ventrilo has at almost half the cost. Mumble and TeamSpeak servers are now starting at just $1.99 per month. And for all of your digital audio streaming needs, TeamSpeak.cc now offers Shoutcast and Icecast hosting. Shoutcast and Icecast stream audio content to listeners to be broadcast to and from media player software, enabling hobbyists and professionals to create internet radio networks of their own. Don't waste time and money with providers that can't live up to the hype. Go to TeamSpeak.cc and start doing business with a service host you can rely on.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again. We're getting involved now with a little bit of that philosophical radicalism that we like to bring to the airwaves on a regular basis. We come next to a group of theorists who were more interested in social justice than in discovering economic laws or in laying the foundation of a national prosperity. The earliest exemplars of this more radical attitude were the utopian socialists, who take their name from the fact that they proposed idealistic schemes for cooperative societies, in which all would work at their appropriate tasks and share the results of their common efforts. Going back to our caller's comment the other day, yesterday, from each according to their ability, to each according to their needs, to a considerable extent, the utopian socialists were the heirs of the Enlightenment. Like the philosophers of that movement, they believed that all crime and greed were the results of an evil environment. Now we have two of the three E's. If men could be freed from vicious custom and from a social structure which facilitates enslavement of the weak by the strong, then all might live together in harmony and peace. Accordingly, the utopian socialists recommended the establishment of model communities, largely self-contained, where most of the instruments of production would be collectively owned and where government would be mainly on a voluntary basis. From that, you can see sustainable development and sustainable communities. Among the original propagators of such plans was the Frenchman Charles Fourier. But the sanest and most realistic of them all was Robert Owen. A native of Wales, Owen rose from an artisan apprenticeship to co-proprietorship and manager of a great cotton mill at New Lanark. And if you haven't ever looked into New Lanark and the Owenites and Manchester and the factory system, why, then you've missed a huge part of history. Here, Owens built houses for his workers, reduced their hours of work from 14 to 10, and established free schools for their children. The severe depression which followed in the wake of the Napoleonic Wars convinced him that the economic order was in urgent need of reform. Like many others since his day, he concluded that the profit system was the cause of all trouble. And it continues, a number of such communities were actually set up, the most famous being the ones at Orbiston, Scotland, and New Harmony, Indiana. Now, if you've got your encyclopedias or you go up on Scribble, Google, Dogpile, or Webferret, or whatever your favorite browser is, you might just look into this New Harmony in Indiana. It was set up by Robert Owen's son, and it is quite a study in itself. Continuing now, for a variety of reasons, the author writes, all of them failed within a very short period of time. But we must understand that when this New Harmony was established in Indiana, a great flood or an outpouring of these socialists came over from Great Britain, and they remained. They didn't go home after New Harmony failed, and they dispersed throughout the country. And from them, a lot of other splinter groups were formed. But when we go back and take a look at this concept here, these utopian socialists, looking at these schemes for cooperative societies, etc., the establishment of model communities, another web search that you might do would be the Garden Cities Program. The Garden Cities Program, you'll find that in London. And when you go over and check all of that out and continue into it, then you start getting into new urbanism, the urban planning movement, Metro 1313 out of the University of Chicago, and much more. It's also important here to note that Henry St. Simon, Count Henry St. Simon, is also commonly considered the founder of utopian socialism. But about all he actually proposed was the abolition of class distinctions and the control of society by industrial experts. Now, that's not an entirely true statement. It's not bad. It does indicate that our author here, Edward McNull Burns, is aware of, and he does mention, and he talks about Auguste Comte. He does talk about positivism in this book, and it's one of the few history books I've ever seen that does. But Claude Henry, the Count Henry de Saint-Simon, it's Claude Henry du Rouvroy Saint-Simon, has a lot more influence than what he's giving him here. Some of his followers taught that the state should be made the sole inheritor of property, which would then be allotted to individuals in proportion to their ability to use it for the advantage of the community, and then so on and so forth. That's all from a footnote. A more influential form of socialism was the so-called scientific socialism of Karl Mordecai Marx, the son of a Jewish lawyer. That's almost a swear. The son of a Jewish lawyer who had turned Christian for professional reasons. Now, you find a lot of that, not only for professional reasons, but they're also just to preserve your life. For quite some time, under the jackboot of the Catholic Church, everybody had to embrace Catholicism, so you could be a Catholic during the daytime hours, but at home you'd still be a Jew or something else. And then there's also the another thread that can be picked up right there, and that is the rise of the Frankists. You know, you go back to Shabtai Zvi and bring the Shabtaians forward. Rabbi Antelman wrote a long treatise on this. Barry Kamish has reported on this. I have his book on it. I came across this sect of unusual Jewish people while I was doing research in the encyclopedias. And, of course, with Shabtai Zvi, Z-E-V-I, you have to pretty much read the entire set of encyclopedias to stumble upon him. But from Shabtai Zvi, his follower, when he got arrested and he was thrown in prison in, I think, Turkey, my memory serves me right, his disciple, Jacob Frank, you can find him that way, he went on to Austria and he became a house pet for, I think it was Maria Theresa of the Habsburg dynasty. And from him comes the long line of Frankists. I believe John Kerry, some people have said, is in that line, the Frankists, masquerade oftentimes as Irish Catholic or Catholics, and actually are not. Those that claim that they're Jews but are not, and so on and so forth. But it's a very interesting and kind of a nasty little twist that the Shabtaians bring into the world, insofar as that they believe that from the greatest evil can come the greatest good. Interesting study in itself. But young Marx was soon displayed a distaste for the law and abandoned his legal studies for the pursuit of philosophy and history. After a year at Bonn, he went to the University of Berlin, where he fell under the influence of a group of disciples of Hegel, who were giving the teachings of their master a slightly radical twist. And there were quite a number of these various new Hegelians, the Hegel's followers. One of them is Feuerbach, and he is in a very interesting study in himself. Not enough time to go into him in detail today. Study on Marx a little bit here. But once again, there were many people that fell under the influence of Hegel, the Hegelian dialectic. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to him than that. Many people have been influenced over the years by Hegel, and Karl Mordecai Marx is no different. But his teachings were from these followers of Hegel, and they had a more radical twist. Though Marx earned the degree of the Doctor of Philosophy at the University of Jena in 1841, his critical views prevented him from realizing his ambition of becoming a university professor. He turned to journalism, editing various periodicals, radical periodicals, and contributing articles to others. In 1848, he was arrested on charges of high treason for participating in the revolutionary movement in Prussia. Though acquitted by a middle-class jury, he was soon afterward expelled from the country. In the meantime, he'd formed an intimate relationship or friendship with Friedrich Engels. He lived from 1820 to 1895. That's the time period we're talking about in here, 1800s. Generally, from the two decades, Marx was 1818 to 1883, Engels 1820 to 1895. You can see that they're right up to the beginning of the 20th century. Who remained his lifelong disciple and alter ego. And we find these alter egos around a lot, don't we? Lots of these people, Bernard Baruch was one of them. Wilson had Colonel Edward Mandelhaus, and Mandelhaus hung around the White House for far too long. Another one of these alter egos. It's hard to say whether Wilson was House's alter ego or the other way around. But Bernard Baruch was involved in it as well. In 1848, the two men issued the Communist Manifesto, which we will probably have to cover in this discussion of revolution and counter-revolution as well. We'll pick it up on the other side of this break and continue with Mordecai and his teachings. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we're back. So we're looking at Karl Mordechai Marx here, trying to get a little wrap our minds around the beginning of this new socialist poison that's all coming on us and at us back here in the 1800s. All new stuff involved in this, and there were so many people. It's hard to look here and say point here or point there. So many people were involved in all of this. It was quite a, it's always been quite a struggle. But continuing here, Marx spent nearly all of his years in London, in poverty, largely, occasionally writing a few articles, some of which he sold to the New York Tribune for $5 a piece, but giving most of his time to poring over dusty manuscripts in the British Museum, like we do something, from morning until midnight, gathering material for a great work on political economy. Got something in common there with Mordechai. In 1867, he published the first volume of this work under the title of Das Kapital, which is a very interesting read, and there are several condensed versions that are worthy of your time if you ever take the time to read it. Das Kapital makes an interesting read. Not only did he pore over these dusty manuscripts, but he became a pretty good historian and philosopher, though I don't agree with his outcomes. Not all of the teachings of Karl Marx were entirely original. For some of his ideas, he was indebted to Hegel, and for others, to the French socialist Louis Blanc, and probably to Ricardo. And Ricardo was an economist following after Adam Smith. Nevertheless, it was Marx who first combined these ideas into a comprehensive system and gave them full-bodied meaning as an explanation of the facts of political economy. Since Marx's theory has been one of the most influential bodies of thought in modern times, it is necessary, our author writes, to understand its doctrines. And fundamental among them are the following. I'm not going to go into them. We'll be talking about pages and pages of reading here. I'll just give you the highlights. First was the economic interpretation of history. In other words, looking at history through the lens of economy. Second was dialectical materialism. Third was the class struggle. Fourth is the doctrine of surplus value. And fifth was the theory of socialist evolution. So there's a lot to understand when we start to approach some of these philosophers, and certainly Karl Marx provided a lot to study. The influences, back to our article here, skipping pages. I guess I should stop it right down here, but the essence of communism is payment in accordance with needs. And again, that points back to our caller's comments yesterday. The wage system would be completely abolished. Each citizen would be expected to work in accordance with his faculties and will be entitled to receive from the total fund of wealth produced an amount in proportion to his needs. This is, our author writes, the acme of justice according to the Marxist conception. And so we can see this idea of from everyone according to their abilities to everyone according to their needs, all that right there in the theory of socialist evolution, the doctrine of surplus value, the class struggle, dialectical materialism, and the economic theory of history, interpretation of history. The influence of Karl Marx upon the 19th and 20th centuries can only be compared with that of Voltaire or Rousseau upon the 18th, and it continues. And then we go into revisionists and others, and I'm going to cover those in another talk. I want to go someplace else in this talk today. I'm going to go back to this Germany Revolution and Counter-Revolution by Friedrich Engels. There's so much in here. This is 160 pages, plus or minus. But in the appendices to the book, it gives us a little bit of an insight on other things. It says here, and follow along, this is the writings of, this is propaganda largely. It's an ideological and cultural process in the making. Indoctrination, if you will. But it reads along this way, brothers, exclamation point. We told you as early as 1848 that the German liberal bourgeoisie, and that's capital G for German and capital L for liberal, German liberal bourgeoisie would soon come into power and would immediately turn its newly achieved power against the workers. And if we go back and understand and study the history carefully as we have been out of this World Civilizations from Edward McNall Burns, we can understand that even though the liberals, if you will call them that, the capitalists, the mercantilists, and the absolutists, even though they were all working in tandem to protect markets, to expand colonies and extend colonies out around the planet and things like that, the actual workers weren't in their thinking. It wasn't part of the mix. No one was even thinking about it. I mean, it was so fresh and hot out of the feudal period that it was just kind of pretty well understood that, you know, the poor will always be with you and the serfs, you know, well, you know, this the grovelers, you know, pretty lousy attitude, but nevertheless, it was true. And these authors writing here in the middle of the 1800s are aware of that, and they're playing on that. They're using this card. So again, brothers, workers of the world unite. Brothers, we told you as early as 1848 that the German liberal bourgeoisie would soon come into power and would immediately turn its newly achieved power against the workers. You have seen how this prophecy was fulfilled. In reality, it was the possession of, the bourgeoisie who, after the March movement of 1848, took possessions of the state power and use this power to throw back the workers, its recent allies, and into their former oppressed position. If the bourgeoisie could not do this without entering into an alliance with the feudal party, which had been put aside in March, without even finally yielding again to the rule of this feudal absolutist party, then it had still got for itself conditions which, in view of the government's financial embarrassments, would have given its power for a long time and have guaranteed all its interest in case it had appeared possible that the revolutionary movement was already entering on the path of so-called peaceful development. Now, I've got to jump in and say this about that. That quite frequently when you're working with material that has been translated from the German, as this may very well have been translated from Marx by Engels into English for publication, that when you're translating things from German, the sentence length becomes almost ponderous. I don't know whether it's just the way that they talk and think and speak in Germany or not, but certainly it's been my practice or my understanding in my history research that this is the case. So I anticipate that this was translated from German into English, that particular sentence, quite lengthy. Continuing, to guarantee its rule, the bourgeoisie would even have needed to apply violent measures and thus rouse the hatred of the people, since all these measures had been taken already by the feudal counter-revolution. So we've got revolution and counter-revolution going on here. But development is not going along this peaceful course. On the contrary, the revolution is near, which will accelerate that development. Whether it is caused by an independent rising of the French proletariat or the invasion of the Holy Alliance against the revolutionary Babylon, in other words, France. And the role, this traitorous role, which the German liberal bourgeoisie of 1848 played against the people will be taken over by the democratic petty bourgeoisie, who, as an opposition party, will take the same position in the approaching revolution as did the liberal bourgeoisie of 1848. Now, this is where it gets interesting, really even more interesting than it already is to me. This capital D, Democratic, capital P, party. This Democratic Party, talking about this German liberal bourgeoisie, this new party that's coming on the scene here, this capital D Democratic Party. We understand the Democratic Party and the use of the Democratic Party as basically being simply no more than code for socialism. And we've gone through that with various, you know, Fast Bullets and Culture Changes, other books that we've read from here. But this Democratic Party, which is far more dangerous to the workers than the liberals were previously, is composed of three elements. One, of the most progressive parts of the great bourgeoisie who have as their aim the immediate and complete overthrow of feudalism and absolutism. This faction is represented by the late Berliner Warenbaron, the tax objectors. Now keep in mind what time period we're reading here and who the authors are. This is Engels here, Marx and Engels, in their book Revolution and Counter-Revolution. And they're talking about a faction of this bourgeoisie that are coming on as the tax objectors. We'll pick that all up on the other side. Stay with us as we begin hour number two. We'll be back in three.
Modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast to become vocal local as we begin our second hour. Come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Go up and visit the website today if you're not already logged on. Certainly, some are, some aren't. But if you haven't been to the oraclebroadcasting.com website, you might check it out today. My name is William Roberts, and we're continuing our study on this idea of revolution and counter-revolution. In the first hour, we went into a variety of different news articles and covered our market reports, as is our tradition here. But largely, the main emphasis of this broadcast is to go in and find the, as Doug Owen likes to say, the backstory of some of this philosophical radicalism all over the place that has brought us up to today. If we can understand the mind of the beast, so to speak, it makes it so much easier to predict what they're going to do. And we're going to need to know what it is that they have in mind if we hope to have any impact in blocking them. I like to think of what we can do locally is a judo move where you take the mass of the energy of the globalist system and you just simply deflect it to the ground rather than trying to do head-on assaults, you know. Anyway, so there's a lot to all of that. But we're deep into this study here now of revolution and counter-revolution, and I'm reading directly out of Frederick Engels' Germany, Revolution and Counter-Revolution, published by the International Publishers in New York in 1933. And he's talking about this time period, 1848, in the rise of this liberal bourgeoisie and a new Democratic Party that was coming on the fore there. And progressives are in this mix as well. And we're looking at these three primary elements that this Democratic Party, which he felt was far more dangerous to the workers than the liberals were previously. It's composed of these three elements. And the first, of course, is this, of the most progressive parts of the great bourgeoisie. And were these bourgeoisie again? This is the middle class, but it's not the middle class as you and I might think of it today in America. This isn't the Wally and June Cleaver world, living on A Street down there in some bunch of tract houses with three-bedroom level-entry ramblers, two or three bedrooms to the left, a living room and a kitchen behind that, and a one-car garage attached to it with a 57 Chevrolet in the driveway. No, that's not middle class. Those are workers. Those are the wage slaves. Middle class is higher than that. They're the ones that run Halliburton, upper level of management, actually business owners of some sort. Members of the Chambres du Commerce, for instance, might be considered middle class. Anyone up to 500 employees, anyone running a business with up to 500 employees, a small businessman, entrepreneurs, the bourgeoisie. Continuing, of the most progressive parts of the great bourgeoisie who have as their aim the immediate and complete overthrow of feudalism and absolutism, and we've talked about that in extensive coverage as we went through the history of the civilizations, Western civilizations, feudalism and absolutism. This faction is represented by the late Berliner Werner Baron, the tax objectors. So number one is the tax objectors. Number two, of the constitutional democratic petty bourgeoisie, whose principal purpose during the recent movement was the establishment of a more or less democratic United States of Germany, as striven for by its representatives in the left fraction of the Frankfurt Assembly, later in the Stuttgart Assembly, and in the campaign for the federal constitution. Be right back.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
The TeamSpeak Command Center provides the best in multi-platform digital audio technology. TeamSpeak.cc is the leader in VoIP and streaming services for users that demand the best in audio quality. The Command Center has raised the bar again and now offers dedicated TeamSpeak and Mumble multi-user VoIP servers. Mumble is a newcomer to the scene and is an open-source voice chat application for groups. Mumble servers provide the exact audio quality that Trillo has at almost half the cost. Mumble and TeamSpeak servers are now starting at just $1.99 per month. And for all of your digital audio streaming needs, TeamSpeak.cc now offers Shoutcast and Icecast hosting. Shoutcast and Icecast stream audio content to listeners to be broadcast to and from media player software, enabling hobbyists and professionals to create internet radio networks of their own. Don't waste time and money with providers that can't live up to the hype. Go to TeamSpeak.cc and start doing business with a service host you can rely on.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again here on our Tuesday, June the 2nd, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming on you and at you right across the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, my name is William Roberts. Back into our book. I love this stuff. I could just read it endlessly and do. Here we go. Out of these 3 points, again, the 3 points that the Democratic Party of 1848 was composed, we saw the first or the most progressive part of the great bourgeoisie, all boils down into the tax objectors. And here's two. Of the constitutional democratic petty bourgeoisie whose principal purpose during the recent movement was the establishment of a more or less democratic United States of Germany as striven for by its representatives in the left fraction of the Frankfurt Assembly, later in Stuttgart Assembly and in the campaign for the federal constitution. This democratic petty bourgeoisie. Here's the third, very interesting, of the Republican petty bourgeoisie, whose ideal is a German federated republic after the manner of Switzerland, and who now call themselves capital R, quote-unquote, red, and, quote-unquote, social democratic, because they cherish the pious wish to abolish the pressure of large bourgeoisie against the petty bourgeoisie. The representatives of this faction were the members of the Democratic Congress and Committee, the directors of the Democratic Societies, and the editors of the Democratic newspapers. Very telling little inclusion there, from which we can understand the writings of others, and certainly the many references that I have found in numerous encyclopedia articles in regards to the creation of the Radical Red Republican Party of Lincoln. Red. They now call themselves Red. Capital R, Red. And Social Democrats. You think there's a difference between the Democratic Party today and the Republican Party? Largely because they have different names. But they truly have the same aims. And so much common history and common ground. So I'll just say it again of the Republican petty bourgeoisie, whose ideal is a German federated republic after the manner of Switzerland, and who now call themselves quote-unquote red and social democratic, because they cherish the pious wish to abolish the pressure of the large bourgeoisie against the petty bourgeoisie, small government, small business, business interests, so on and so forth. You see all of that in that. The representatives, here we go again, the constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. Representatives. The representatives of this faction were members of the Democratic Congress. Notice he says the representatives of this faction, factions and parties. We've talked about all of this stuff over and over again on this broadcast. By now it should be familiar to you. All of these factions, since their defeat, call themselves Republicans or Reds. Just as the Republican petty bourgeoisie in Frankfurt now call themselves socialists. Can it get any more clear than that, right out of the mouths of Engels and Marx? All these factions, since their defeat, call themselves capital R Republicans or R Reds. What color symbolizes this radical red Republican Party in this country? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question. They got their little goat of Mendes stars, upturned Mendes stars, on their pachyderm. Does that harken back to Hannibal? Maybe Carthage? Maybe Moloch? yes, Minerva. But where, as in Württemberg, Bavaria, etc., they still find the opportunity to accomplish their purposes by constitutional means. They take advantage of this opportunity to stow away their old phrases and prove that in practice they have not changed in the slightest. Be careful. I've been called twisty. It further stands to reason that the altered name of this party does not change their relationship to the workers in the slightest degree, but it simply proves that when they have to act against the bourgeoisie, which is in alliance with absolutism, they are compelled to lean on the proletariat for aid. Their base. And what is this struggle? This struggle against the absolutists, the black nobility of Europe, sometimes represented by the Bilderbergers, Queen Beatrice, etc., Prince Charles, the Sustainable Prince, and many others. What is this struggle between the bourgeoisie and the absolutists? It's a struggle for power. and control, ultimate control. The abolition of the idea of the divine right of kings, which was an idea that was sown to break up feudalism and introduce mercantilism. And it keeps going back to the same entrepreneurial class agitating for these changes as people like Barry the Usurper, who some say have never had it, held a decent job. Obviously, he would be one of these petty bourgeoisie who now has found his way all the way up into a high position of power. Continuing here, the petty bourgeoisie Democratic Party in Germany is very powerful. It includes not only the great majority of the middle class population of the cities, the small industrial merchants and the guild masters, it also includes the peasantry and the land proletariat in its following, so long as the latter has not yet found the support in the independent proletariat of the cities. In all of this, we can find these various platforms, the Democratic Party's platform and the Republican Party's platform. They always turn to the proletariat for aid, of course. They're pillaging our banking accounts, pillaging us to finance the kings, just like it has always been the case. Whether it's a 10% tithe every Sunday or two-thirds of the food that you produce for your Lord, that you pledge your liege Lord to, it's always the same drill by the same people. With the same ideas, the faces come and go, the names come and go, the families come and go, but the drive is always the same. The circumstances in which the Revolutionary Workers' Party finds itself make it go hand in hand with the petty bourgeoisie. The Democratic Party against a faction which it proposes to overthrow, but the party of the workers assumes the attitude of opposition in all matters which the petty bourgeoisie wishes to secure its own position. Well, it continues. This is from the appendices of Revolution and Counter-Revolution by Frederick Engels, but we can see how seductive this kind of propaganda can be, because it's largely grounded in truth.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And we're back. So we can see that we do understand a little bit about socialism and Marxism and communism and its origins. Sometimes we don't understand much, really, about capitalism. There are traditional definitions that some people can give. It's not easy to define. In fact, it's very difficult to define. It's also difficult to embrace, unless you can reduce it down to some simplicity, because it was largely a tool for gaining control. And it can't be said that it's always the best thing since sliced bread unless it's rightly understood. But for those kind of inquiries, I like to turn to Andrew J. Galambos and his book, The Thrust for Freedom. It's an introduction to volitional science. Not that he's the end-all, be-all, but he is a logician who took time to very carefully go through certain fundamental basic principles. And for those of you that remember on WTPRN and RBN, the broadcast of Eric Huru, Who Are You? He used to talk a lot about fundamental basic principles. He and I have a basic disagreement when he says that government isn't something that you just simply can't find in nature. I disagree wholeheartedly against that. I think that no matter where you look in nature, you'll find natural law and natural government, whether it's the family or whether it's the bees or whether it's the ants or whether it's the pride of lions, etc. But there are certain fundamental basic principles that if we can organize our mind around, then we can start to build a better system for the future, always moving into greater and greater freedom, less and less tyranny and despotic control. But it begins with an understanding of what is property. You know, the first plank in the Communist Manifesto is the abolition of property. But if we understand what property is and rightly understand it, then we can see how dire and drastic this abolition of property is. These radical evolutionists, these followers of Darwin and others, Hawke and the others, they're out to get you. They're out to get me. If you understand property correctly, then you can understand this massive population reduction program. But let's find out what Galambos has to say about property. I'm not going to go into it in great detail. But he defines property this way. Property is an individual man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of life, of our lives. Property is the basis of ownership because to own means to have and to hold property. And from this definition of property, it follows that man must first own his own life before he can own anything else. And in this way, life is defined as primordial property. In other words, from time out of mind, from time in the beginning. No one may own any man but himself, and thus this definition of property excludes slavery at the outset, including wage slavery, I might add. The first derivatives of man's life are his thoughts and his ideas. Thoughts and ideas are defined as primary property. And from the definition, man owns primary property. And through this ownership, intellectual freedom arises and inspires knowledge and production. From primary property or ideas stem our actions. Ownership of one's actions, clearly a property right, is commonly called liberty, and I might like to think of it as freedom. Liberty, then, as well as life itself, is a property right. Since all so-called human rights depend upon man's liberty, I'd like to say freedom there, it follows that all human rights are property rights, and this to this, there can be no conflict. Well, I just simply don't like the use of the word liberty. I prefer the word freedom. I find it almost impossible to define liberty without using the term freedom. So let's cut out the middleman. When a young sailor comes down off the ship and has shore leave, he still has his uniform, he still has his dog tags, he still has his strings, but he's thought to be at liberty. He's at liberty as long as he doesn't violate any of the military laws. And we are at liberty when we leave our homes and go out and about, as long as we don't violate any of the laws of the status. But freedom is beyond all of that. Freedom is beyond all of that. So I look to freedom, not to liberty. Here's the definition of freedom. Freedom is the societal condition that exists when every individual has full or 100% control over his own property. Do you have 100% control over your property? Likely not. Likely not. But again, these are things, these are the desires of things sought for. This is what propels us into the future, if you will. These are the things we constantly reach for. Life can never be boring as we're constantly seeking out greater and greater amounts of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. But what is capitalism? Capitalism builds upon this understanding of what is property and what is freedom. And Galambos starts this way. And this is a box that people are oftentimes put into when we think about capitalism, but listen to how he styles it and gets us off on the right foot. What is capitalism? He says, capitalism is usually defined as that economic system in which the land and the means of production and distribution are owned privately, and in which the capitalist, or the owners of capital, play the principal part. And Galambos continues, and he says, this definition, though not wrong in its content, falls far short of doing capitalism justice. It leads to much abuse and misunderstanding of the term. Through the destructive propaganda of those who wish to control production and ultimately all property, the various forms of collectivists, remember what Karl Mordecai Marx titled his great treatise, Das Kapital. But capitalism has been denounced as selfish greed and exploitation of the many by the few capitalists. Actually, the present dictionary definition of capitalism is not an adequate definition at all. It describes only some of capitalism's characteristics. The resulting incomplete picture of capitalism leads to serious distortions and erroneous interpretations. A total definition of capitalism can be given in terms of property. And here's his definition of capitalism. Capitalism is that societal structure whose mechanism is capable of protecting all forms of private property completely. Completely. And it serves no other purpose. None. And so, we can go on from there. But let's drop back a little bit here in this book and look at government and state. And after Galambos, I'm going to turn over here to the proletarian lessons, and we're going to look at lesson number two, the state. But here's what Galambos has to say. Government and state. The definition. What is the difference between government and state? Most people use the terms government and state interchangeably, yet these two terms are entirely different in their meanings. A state is an instrument of social coercion. A true government, on the other hand, sells products or services whose function it is to protect property. And so rightly organized, a government works hand in hand with these basic fundamental principles. The confusion, Galambos writes, easily stems from the fact that the states have traditionally claimed to be the protector of the property of the citizens over whom they hold dominion. And remember that in the rise of statism, the state arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, formerly held by church and other things, claimed by church, never held by them. But the state arrogated to itself all of the natural law and then returned it as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable, and largely to protect the mercantilists who helped to get him into power in the first place. So much more on that. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Right, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we've returned right here on Become Vocal Local. Indeed, indeed. We're looking at the Thrust for Freedom. It's an introduction to volitional science by Andrew J. Galambos. Excellent little book. I found it up on the, actually I was turned on to a copy of it by a friend of ours, or a friend of mine, from the Ron Paul meetup groups here in southwest Missouri. And enjoyed it so much. And I was so surprised to even discover this fellow. But I enjoyed it so much, I did go up and finally was able to get a copy of it off of Amazon, I think it was. And very inexpensive, $6 or $7. Well worth it. Good, something good to add to your library. Definitely something good to add to your library. But here, continuing, he says, the confusion easily stems, we're talking about government and state, from the fact that states have traditionally claimed to be the protector of the property of the citizens over whom they hold dominion. I don't like that concept myself. Dominionists. Statist, well, that's another one I don't care too much for, the statist. Statist propaganda from time immemorial has been that without a state, there would be total anarchy. This audience is aware of what anarchy is now, by which they mean, incorrectly, a condition of disorder and chaos. You see, we can understand Galambos. Galambos understands anarchy as well. Incorrectly understood as a condition of disorder and chaos. We'll find out a lot more about anarchy as we continue our study of the world civilizations. We're just getting to the point now where anarchy really started to heat up. That this is false is illustrated by the fact that in the long run, all states have led to the very condition from which they claim to be protecting their citizens. Given enough time, all states have collapsed. The unfortunate people living under these conditions have seen their achievements and their cultures disappear into oblivion. And boy, haven't we been through that. I think we've got about 6,500 years of history under our belts so far on this broadcast alone. The reason that states do not protect property but merely claim to do so is because they employ coercion as their only operational tool. And if you don't have a copy of Frederick Bastiat's The Law in your library, another simple, easy read, you can pick them up for $7 and $10 also. If you can check out the flea markets, you might be fortunate enough to get one for 40 cents. Again, the reason that states do not protect property but merely claim to do so is because they employ coercion as their only operational tool. This is government at the end of a gun, right? This is a classic illustration of the saying that one cannot achieve ends by means inconsistent with the ends sought. One cannot protect property by employing coercion. The true protection of property can be achieved only through the sale of products or services whereby the sellers are remunerated on the basis of their success. In other words, we don't extort taxes out of people. We voluntarily buy services to protect our property, and they're priced according to their success. We only pay for good products. We don't pay for things like the National Education Association, which has been failing since its outset. We don't pay for a continued membership in the United Nations, because it's been a failed institution from the outset. As Aristotle said, such as they begin badly, they cannot help but to end badly, and those institutions have begun badly. The customer must want to buy the product or the service at a price he's willing to pay. If he is forced to buy, he has lost a part of his property at the outset. Then the only talking point is how much of it he may still retain. How much of my freedom can I still have under this new freedom coming out of Washington and The Hague? It is completely unrealistic to assert that individuals who have property will not wish to have their property adequately protected. The more they have, the more they'll want to have competent products or services to protect their property. The way, then, is clear for any profit-oriented person with creative ideas to enter the market and offer for sale increasingly competent products or services at ever-decreasing cost, in order that he may earn greater profits for himself and helping others retain control over what is theirs. You see, it's an entirely different way of looking at government. But if we look at government that way and not state, we'll be better off. This idea leads a new structure of social organization that is fully compatible with the social goals of the founders of the American Revolution, but is able to accomplish these goals without political means and compromise techniques. You see, when we throw in the established two-party political system, we've stepped away from representatives, and now we have this middleman organization, these used car salesmen, these insurance hucksters, in charge of our country. The true concept of government then becomes a profit-seeking service organization to protect property. There cannot be a monopoly of governmental service when the road is free and clear to innovate advanced techniques in the area of protection. So imagine what it would be like if we had a free market system on money, currency, coins. Now here's his two definitions of government and state, and then we'll go on to the proletarian lessons for today. A government is any person or organization that sells products or services to protect property, to which the owner of the property may voluntarily subscribe. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Now here's a state. A state is any person or organization that claims to protect property by coercing the owner of the property to use and pay for its services, claiming quote-unquote legality as its justification. It is obvious from the foregoing twin definitions that a government must operate on a profit-seeking basis to be successful, whereas all states are bureaucratic by nature. The state, Columbus concludes, then, is the counterfeit of government. So with that, we can understand a little bit more about government and state and why I'm opposed to the status mentality. It's unfortunate that they chose to call all of the colonies and territories states, but they did. I wonder if they understood what they were saying when they said it and wrote it. Now, proletarian lessons. This again is by John Karakar. This is a handbook, an original handbook, likely to be early 1920s or 30s. It doesn't give a date. It's not copyrighted. It's open source material. It's a treasure in my library. I keep it in a special little sleeve to protect it. Originally priced at 25 cents. On the cover, it shows a picture of a worker, a man, sitting with, he's got his worker's cap on a little hat rack behind him and a jacket, it looks like. He's sitting in a chair that's very similar to the one that I sit in at a table with a kerosene lamp. He has a small bookshelf up on one, off to his right there, and his desk, this is a line drawing, it's a sketch, very well done. His desk is covered with books and papers, and Capital Vol, looks like, is the title of one of the books on the table. That could be Das Kapital, right there. So this is a little Marxist publication, and written in handwriting on the front page of this, it says, Workers' Party, Los Angeles Section. So this had been for a while in possession of one of the Workers' Party members, and it came into my possession through a used bookshop seller in the Mission District in San Francisco. But here's proletarian lesson number two. What is the state? There are various opinions, Krakauer begins, as to what the state or government is. See, now he's using it as, he's combining them, a state or government, not a state and or government is. How it is organized or originated and what its purpose. Let me say that again. Difficult reading. There are various opinions as to what the state, comma, or government, comma, is, semicolon, how it originated, and what its purpose. The old conception of the state was that it was of divine origin, and that it functioned in harmony with the will of God. The king and the aristocratic ruling class held their power direct from the Almighty. But in these days, there is only a shadow of that belief left. The divine rights of kings and governments have almost gone. The present conception of the state, parenthetically he adds, we might say the vulgar conception, close parentheses, is that governments, quote, obtain their power by the consent of the governed, close quote. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. Thank you.
loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
And we're back going into the last segment of today's 2-hour broadcast. This has become Vocal Local, of course. We're reading from the Proletarian Lessons, lesson number 2, What is a State? What is the State? Continuing, our author writes, this is the recognized conception of the state. Now, I'll just say it again. The present conception of the state, we might say the vulgar conception, is that governments obtain their power by the consent of the governed. This is the recognized conception of the state. Such a view, of course, is in harmony with the interests of the capitalist class, who control the press, pulpit, and the educational system. Now, does that sound familiar? The average worker who is trained to think along those lines believes, because he votes the way he is trained to, that he has something to do with the operation of the state. The modern working class movement, which is as yet backward, contends that the state always has been the means whereby a ruling class holds a subject class in check. Karl Marx described it as the public power of coercion. You can see that not only does Galambos link the state with coercion, and Frederick Bastiat link the state with coercion, but also Karl Mordecai himself links the state with the public power of coercion. Maybe they had all done their homework. a class necessity. Before the advent of civilization, man lived for countless ages in a classless society. Tribes and clans owned the land and primitive means of livelihood in common. Now, we've done a fair amount of study, and I'd like you to point out some of those ancient civilizations before the advent of civilization. Give us any kind of record that would bone that up. But anyway, the domestication of animals and their development into flocks and herds resulted in their becoming the property of individuals and furnishing those individuals the means of enslaving the propertyless fellow tribesmen, as well as captives taken in tribal warfare. Slavery was the first form of exploitation, the first way of making men and women labor for a bare existence and furnishing comforts and luxuries for the class of property owners who enslaved them. And we saw that in the development of the Oriental despotisms. The first states that arose, those of the great civilizations of the past, such as Babylonia, Greece, Carthage, and Rome, notice he omits Egypt there prior to Babylonia, were all based upon slavery, and Egypt was as well. The state is a necessary institution where property and propertyless classes exist. Now, he says the state is a necessary institution where property and propertyless classes exist. We're making a dividing stone here. We're drawing the line between property and propertyless classes. It is the organized power by which the property-owning class rules society and coerces the subject, propertyless class. In the feudal period, the state evolved again out of the barbarous tribes of Europe. That's the truth. The feudal state was not based primarily upon the ownership of human beings, but upon the ownership of land. The land slaves, serfs, were at the mercy of the land-owning aristocrats. And if you wanted to, we could draw the same distinction between the agrarian South and the industrial North in the development of the colonies leading up until the War of Northern Aggression. Similar arguments can be raised. The feudal ruling class exploited their serfs in a way peculiar to that land-owning civilization. They did not give them food, shelter, etc., such as the ancient slaves received for their labor, but they let them produce their own food, clothing, etc., in so many days of each week upon a portion of land allotted to them, and that was known as serf soil. The serfs had to work the rest of the week on the estates of their masters, and for this service, they received no payment whatever. And there's some truth in all of that. Highly condensed, but reasonably accurate. The state and industry. Out of the feudal state emerged the present state, the capitalist form of government. The modern parliamentary form, and there's a huge study in that, the rise of parliamentarianism. The modern parliamentary form with universal, quote-unquote, suffrage is the highest development that master-class society has produced. The modern industrial system with, quote-unquote, educated workers has made the parliamentary democratic state necessary. The present state is not based upon the ownership of slaves, nor primarily upon the ownership of land, but upon the ownership of industry. And it continues, and it continues. It's a lengthy talk. Well, let's see, it's only a little bit more. I guess it's only two more pages. Let's see if I can get it. The instruments of production, modern machinery, are owned by a non-producing class. The state or government is the institution whereby that class maintains its ownership and enjoys the fruits of the workers' labor. The capitalist state is not so clumsy as its predecessors, the slave and feudal states. It uses deception much more efficiently than the states of the past. It hides its main weapons, which is repression, more successfully. As long as deception works, the state appears to be a, quote, government of the people, capitalists and wage workers, parenthetically. But by the people and for the people, close quote. This is the cleverest deception of modern times. The school, the press, and the pulpit work overtime on this clever lie. The state does not take off its mask unless circumstances compel it to do it. Its spokesmen, the statesmen, speak of, quote-unquote, justice to all, the, quote, rights of the people, close quote, the welfare of the country, etc. You can also add into that the greatest good of the greatest number or the happiness principle. All that figures in there. But when it becomes necessary for the workers to strike for more pay or shorter hours or even to resist encroachment upon their hours and wages, then the other weapon, repression or coercion, is resorted to. And there's accuracy in a lot of this. There is. And if you, as we continue to study our history, we'll know that. Here's the real power, he says. The process is to call out troops and other corps of machinery of the state and point the bayonet at the breast of the worker. It's an age-old condition. Deception as a weapon is not abandoned. It is simply supplemented by the real power of the state or force. If the worker, who is hungry while the capitalist may be overfed, is willing to starve in silence, then it is not necessary for the state to unmask completely. Statesmen still talk of fair and just settlements in the interests of everybody. The capitalists sit tight and watch hunger and suffering defeat the unarmed peaceful workers, while the state forces, armed to the teeth, await the signal for action. And we can see some of this in the writings of Thomas Paine as well. Should the workers resist the starvation process and seek to lay hands upon the overstocked food stores or seize the factories or otherwise menace the interest of the capitalist, then the state unmasks completely. It throws deception to the wind and makes use of its real weapon. It shoots, if necessary, the workers into submission. Often, when a worker awakens to an understanding of the real nature of the state and sees it as organized force, he renounces all weapons but force. He abandons the use of the ballot and proclaims himself as opposed to sending workers into parliamentary bodies, and we see that happening today. Many ingenious arguments are used against the anarcho-syndicalist and other anti-parliamentary revolutionists. Well, this is Mr. Krakauer's definition of the state. But one thing that is rarely mentioned in these kinds of writings, unless you're reading directly from the Communist Manifesto, which we can and will perhaps do tomorrow, we don't see the trade here. And again, as Aristotle said, such as you begin badly, you cannot help but end badly. All of these truths are great, and all of these truths fire people up. All of this accurate history that you can find reading Das Kapital, they fire people up. They let everybody see the trouble, the problem. But the real problem is the poison that can be found inside of the Communist Manifesto. We'll pick that up again tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. And until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
TeamSpeak Command Center provides the best in multi-platform digital audio technologies. TeamSpeak.tc is the leader in VoIP and streaming services for users that demand the best in audio quality. The Command Center has raised the bar again and now offers dedicated TeamSpeak and Mumble multi-user voice servers. Mumble is a newcomer to the scene and is an open-source voice chat application for groups. The Mumble servers provide the exact audio quality Ventrilo has at almost half the cost. Mumble and TeamSpeak servers are now starting at just $1.99 per month. And for all of your digital audio streaming needs, TeamSpeak.tc now offers Shoutcast and Icecast hosting. Shoutcast and Icecast stream audio content to listeners to be broadcast to and from media player software, enabling hobbyists and professionals to create internet radio networks of their own. Don't waste time and money with providers that can't live up to the hype. Go to TeamSpeak.tc and start doing business with a service host you can rely on.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.